I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Jan Janer. She's a palliative care coordinator at Christus St. Vincent's Hospital, and Jutta Lokvig, who is an Alzheimer's specialist, and they're here to talk about a half-day conference called The Longest Loss, Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
So this is an event for caregivers, is it?
Well, it's both professional education as well as family and caregivers, so it kind of crosses the entire spectrum. We're offering CME, CNE, so there's a way that professionals can earn credit, but I've listened to the DVD, and it will appeal to the entire spectrum of folks that in some way are dealing with folks with dementia.
Now, dementia and Alzheimer's are huge challenges, especially for the families of people who get those illnesses. What happens when somebody realizes that a member of their family, maybe their mother or father, is something's wrong?
The first thing they do is panic. And I can't blame them for that. It's just people are terrified of these diseases. And hopefully they will then, the next step, seek some help and maybe join support groups, whatever, to better understand, you know, what other people are going through and what they have learned in their caregiving experiences.
I mean, it's a huge burden because a lot of the time the care that person needs isn't available, particularly when they get worse.
Exactly. Unfortunately, especially in Santa Fe, we have lost the one place that actually helped people out during the day, private family caregivers, which was the Open Hands Daycare Center.
Uh-huh.
And that was closed now several years ago, and there's nothing else really except our monthly Alzheimer's Cafe. But that's like 2 hours a month.
Right.
You know. And then, of course, there are private consultants like myself.
Right, and that's, I mean, it's I feel like this whole question of Alzheimer's and dementia give you a window into the strengths and weaknesses of the healthcare system that we're living with and negotiating.
You're absolutely right. Other countries around the world are so far ahead of us when it comes to this. They're facing the realities of these diseases and the needs of both the families and the people with the disease. You know, so like in Scandinavia, the Netherlands and Britain, Switzerland, they are doing some amazing things. And I'm hoping that we can adopt some of that.
What are some of the early signs and symptoms?
Well, I think that often families will say, you know, they're just not quite remembering in the way that they used to. It might be that they repeat questions. You know, there's a way in which people will kind of restate things over and over, kind of trying to plant something in their mind. And, you know, sometimes families don't actually, in the early stages, pick up on it. They get kind of used to the individual's slight changes. And I think in many times, families don't want to believe that something that is going to be progressive and gradually take its toll in the way that dementia ultimately does is actually starting.
I agree. And it's sad because they actually put the person with the disease in a very stressful situation. You know, a lot of effort, both on the part of that person and also the family members, is to cover it up.
Yeah.
And it's sad because in the meantime, the person with the disease is going to feel more and more alienated because it's more and more difficult, you know, to cover up. And they know that there's something really wrong and nobody's really wanting to talk about it.
Well, there's this, I mean, everybody who gets Alzheimer's or dementia starts out without it, and there's a transition, and at a certain point, they're really no longer in control of themselves if it advances to that point. And that in-between stage must be very difficult for the patient, him or herself, to realize, I'm losing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of grief for the individual themselves. Not long ago, in one of the palliative care articles that I stay very connected to, an individual who is in healthcare wrote about his sense of anxiety that was building as he had chunks of time that was just disappearing. He experienced a lot of worry about the future because he was in the healthcare profession, but he could see like episodes of just, I have no idea what just happened. I have no idea how I got from here to there. Where was I? As if it just vanished, a chunk of time. And his growing sense of his own sense of loss and grief around these changes that he couldn't control.
Yeah. And the sense and the knowledge that you were very soon going to be utterly dependent on other people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you're here to talk about this conference that's happening, The Longest Loss. It's a half-day conference, and it's partly a pre-recorded video. What's it about? What's going on?
Yeah, so every year, the Hospice Foundation of America does a presentation, and usually they use experts in the field to come together, and that they bring an interdisciplinary group that has experience in certain areas. They've done a lot in the area of grief and loss, sudden death, children's deaths. This year they're focusing on Alzheimer's and dementia because it is reaching and touching so many lives. I mean, all of us probably have family members, friends, etc. So the group that is coming together, Ken Doka has been doing this a great many years. He's always on these panels. He's has a master's in divinity. I'm not familiar with some of the other clinicians that he's gathered, but all of them have expertise in the area of dementia. Frank Cessno kind of is the moderator, and he's so well known for his skills at bringing folks, deep thoughts and their, ability to connect with each other to the front. So how it's set up is we have now got the DVD, and Jutta and I and a couple other people that are going to be on the local panel have viewed it. It's just going to be amazing. And so the local folks are there available as a panel. We'll watch part of the DVD, or watch and listen to part of the DVD. Then we'll have our local experts, which include Jutta and Ruth Dennis, Dr. Trone, and a few other folks from our community. A little break, and then we'll finish with the last part of the DVD and more Q&A for our local community.
What kind of information are you giving people?
Well, you too. You've seen it.
I was very impressed, by the way. I was very impressed, and I've seen a lot. And this is probably the best I've seen so far. And it's really it's twofold. One is like what's happening with the people with, basically inside the person with a disease, but then also really practical tips for caregivers and families.
What are some of those tips?
Some of them are, well, one that people have a very hard time with is to learn to go with whatever is happening with that person. So if that person has stepped back into childhood, for instance, which happens often, not that they're children again, but memories from their childhood have popped into their heads, and they then step into those memories, we need to learn how to go in there with them.
Yeah, and that's, it's kind of a, almost like a creative process, like going into their mind space. Almost, I actually heard of an amazing radio broadcast about somebody who was himself an improv theater guy, and he basically used I don't think it was his mother-in-law or something like that, he treated her as if they were in kind of almost a theater of her mind together.
Right. Yeah, that was Monty Carter, who was a very good friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I've seen him in action, and he's wonderful.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and he urges caregivers actually to just let loose and just go there, and it's hard for us. We're not used to that, because he's very playful.
Yeah.
But he walks a very fine line between being playful and you're right, it's his mother-in-law's space, and not going overboard. He has to keep it safe for her.
Yes, and, you know, think of the suffering that's going on if the family member hasn't understood how to connect with their loved one that has dementia and is constantly correcting them or trying to get them on track. And, you know, there's a play as far as the amount of both support for the person that's mind is beginning to lose facts and get disoriented, as well as encouragement. And I think this conference is going to be focusing on those gentle and carefully constructed ways of bringing the person back into the fold without diminishing their integrity and their sense of dignity and, you know, that their personhood. So it's very exciting to... Yeah. I've been doing care of the folks with dementia and Alzheimer's for a very long time, and I was surprised when I listened to the video or watched the DVD with Jutta of the new little hints that came in. You can be dealing with this for a very long time and think, okay, I've got it, and yet I was learning a great deal.
Well, that says a lot if you've been doing it for that long and there's new information. How is the combination of Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients, and children? Children are very playful. Do they work well together?
Usually. If we can just leave them alone with each other, yes. And I wish there was much more of an effort to do that deliberately. There's some care facilities that actually a few rare ones around the country that have combined Alzheimer's homes with children's daycare centers.
You know,
which I think is so wonderful.
It's brilliant. I've always wondered why there isn't more of that kind of thing. Not only Alzheimer's and dementia patients, but just old folks and children, both of whom, you know, need each other. The old folks are bored and the children need care.
And, you know, there's something about children being in the moment. And that's very much where our Alzheimer's and dementia folks are, is often completely in the moment. The past is gone, particularly the recent past. You know, ancient past may be very present, but what just happened 6 minutes ago or an hour ago may not be. And kids have that same freshness. So,
what's the difference between the kind of normal memory loss that almost everybody has when they get older and these illnesses? I mean, almost any middle-aged person will say their long-term memory is better than their short-term memory these days.
Correct. And it is part of normal aging, some memory loss, and some also difficulty with language, like seeking words, you know, dropping words now and then, forgetting names of people who are not that close to you. The difference is that with a person with dementia, first of all, it happens much more frequently. And like you mentioned in the very beginning of this, that they will ask the same questions over and over again, not realizing that we've already gone through this. I mean, you and I do that. I mean, I think of something I wanted to tell somebody, and then there's a moment that I can't remember. Did I tell them already or what?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we all do that. But with a person with dementia, they don't understand. They don't know that they already asked you that three times.
Is there a difference between dementia and Alzheimer's from the point of view of the caregiver?
No. No. I mean, there are a few dementias. First of all, of course, Alzheimer's is a dementia. You know, dementia is an umbrella term that we use for a slew of diseases that share symptoms. That's what it stands for. Like cancer is an umbrella term for leukemia, melanoma, etc. And when it comes to issues that caregivers have to deal with, there are a couple of the other dementias that may actually present different kinds of problems. They're more prone to hallucinations. I mean, much more prone to hallucinations or whatever. But in most cases, the issues are the same. So the advice that we give, and this video is, I mean, anybody out there who is involved with dementia, Alzheimer's, you've got to come because it's the best. It really is.
We're talking about the half-day conference called The Longest Loss, Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, which is happening on May 6th, that's next week, from noon to 5 at Christus St. Vincent's here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. What kinds of resources are there for people? I mean, my stepfather had Alzheimer's, and at a certain point, my mother couldn't care for him because he was very big, and he was not in control at all, and all these problems started happening. He had to go into a home. What happens for people who are in that same position? They can't afford a home.
There's a process of application for Medicaid, and I think that there are some unique resources for folks with Alzheimer's. As far as in-home caregiving waiver programs, where it all kind of is based on resources. Jutta, have you had experience with these waiver programs where family members get paid to care for their own loved ones?
Yes. I do know of a few family members who have actually succeeded with that. And mm-hmm. anyone who's actually caring for somebody in the mid stage ought to look into it now, because it takes time. It can mm-hmm. take 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, the other thing is, for those of us who are not rich, our only options are really the two nursing homes in town, or Española or Los Alamos or Albuquerque.
If you have resources, you know, Sierra Vista is wonderful. Kingston has a memory unit, and now El Castillo has a memory unit. So, you know, there are some exceptionally good places in our community that can do the round-the-clock care and allow the family to be the family. And, you know, I think it's really a tender issue, because it's kind of based on the financial picture, unfortunately.
Right.
Are there any treatments on the horizon? Are there any cures that are anywhere near? No. They're shaking their heads.
We're both shaking our heads, unfortunately.
There's certainly a great amount of research out there into this area, because I think the statistics are that if you've reached 85, about half the population will have some evidence of dementia on the spectrum by the time you're 85. So as we are able, through medical treatments, to live longer and live fairly well, I think this is going to be something that we're going to be seeing larger, as far as what folks, you know, need to prepare for.
Jan Janer is palliative care coordinator at Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. Jutta Lokvig is an Alzheimer's and dementia specialist. And once again, the half-day conference, The Longest Loss, is this coming Wednesday, the 6th of May, from noon to 5 at Christus St. Vincent. If people want to find out more information or register, they can call 505-270-2555. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
We need to say that it's free and that lunch is included.
Oh, okay. The conference is free and lunch is included. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yes, thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. It was great to be here.
And I hope to see every caregiver in town. We're going to be overbooked, I hope.
Well, actually, that's an issue. Our room only holds a certain amount, so you must pre-register. We absolutely, because it is a free event and because it's going to be so amazing, we need you to pre-register. And if we have such an overwhelming response, we will have a second session in the fall.
Once again, 270-2555. Thanks so much.
Thank you.